Boogity boogity, let's go racing, boys!
Welcome to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Luth Customs, a division of J. Walton Automotive, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, Driver's Den, Indian Motorcycle of Albuquerque, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Your host, David Swope, will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene. Whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it. Call now, 994-1017. That's 994-1017 to get into all the action. Now, here's your host, David Swope.
All right, good morning, it's Saturday morning, and that means it's race day. You're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report exclusively on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team, coming to you live from Daytona International Speedway. I'm your host, David Swope. We'll be talking about automotive and related motorsports activities around the state and on the national scene each and every week here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Whether it has two wheels or four, asphalt or dirt track racing, off-road or park and shine, we'll be talking about it. This is New Mexico's only show devoted to motorsports-related activities with a full hour here exclusively on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. And that's right, they actually sent us out to Daytona, Florida, the home of Daytona International Speedway, and of course, tomorrow's Daytona 500. A lot of neat things going on. They've had a three-year construction project called Daytona Rising that was completed last month, and let me tell you, it is extremely, extremely impressive. They got a capacity of 100,000 people that could be here. And I'm not even sure that that's counting all the people that sneak in the RVs and all the other kind of stuff that are going on. We're sitting right here in the fan zone. You can see people milling around as they get ready to race. Right now, the Xfinity practice is going on the track, so a lot of neat things going on. But I tell you, it is a total fan experience here. You've got, you know, free Wi-Fi, so people, I mean, they got, you know, charging stations and everything, so people can fully engage with their experience here. And when you step on the grounds, I mean, you feel the history. And since 1959, they've been doing races here, and it's absolutely amazing. Including, we got a huge get. Coming up in the next segment, Bobby Allison is going to be on the show. That's right, three-time Daytona 500 winner, Bobby Allison. And I tell you what's significant about that for me, he won his last race, 1988, at 50 years old. I'm 50 years old right now. So I'm thinking, you know what, after this, I'm going to compete in the Xfinity race later. Okay, so a lot of great things going on. So first thing we want to do is we want to catch you all up on the duels that happened on Thursday. And we got some sound here from Dale Earnhardt Jr. on winning duel number one.
You know, had to just go where they were going. Everybody was trying to, you know, everybody knows how important getting the lead is at this race. So I was, I knew how important it was to keep it. So I had to do everything I could and get pretty aggressive at blocking and getting in front of them and trying to not allow them to get up on the quarter panels. So they had a great car. I know that that's evident, but this car is something special. I was so nervous today about tearing the car up because I know how good it is versus what we have. What we have is a capable car and a trailer, but man, this thing's special. So I'm real excited. Hopefully we can get through these next few practices and be able to put the car on the grid on Sunday. And whatever happens after that happens, I don't really care. But I was so nervous because you just definitely, you got to go out there. It's such a tough balance because you got to go out there and try to win, but you can't tear up the car, but get a race. You got to race. Like, tear up the car don't matter. So it's really just crossing your fingers and hoping you get there to the finish with a car in one piece. But we did, so I was real happy with that.
Yeah, I'd have to say that the crowd was also happy with that. Because on lap three, when he took the lead, you could hear the crowd. And I mean, it wasn't a huge crowd, you know, for the duels, but it was a good crowd. You could hear the crowd, and it happened on the back straight. So you know any time that Dale goes to the lead that you hear it from the crowd. And what was really significant is before the race, I mean, you know, we have all the pomp and circumstance and all the introductions and everything. When he got done, you saw him collect himself, went over, had an interview with Chase Elliott, talked to Chase about how they were going to do the start, make sure it was nice and safe. Then he went actually to Ricky Stenhouse. He walked down to Austin Dillon. There was a moment that he had with Richard Childress, Right before they were, going to get into that race, the significance of it, 15 years ago to the date, his father, Dale Sr., passed away at this track in the Daytona 500. So there was a lot of significance in that, and the way he handles it is the way only Dale Jr. does with class. But it was very interesting to see him talk to the different drivers about how they were going to get that race started. And let me tell you, Logano was coming. It was quite a challenge from Joey Logano. A nice little block. I'd say it was like a little mini block he put on him to keep him back, but it was definitely Dale Jr.'s day. Not to be outdone, though, Kyle Busch came back in the second duel. Let's hear a little audio from Kyle.
Actually, I think I get to start on the front row now. So, I didn't win this race to qualify myself for the fourth starting position. But with our teammate having trouble there at the end of the race, they'll have to go to a backup car, it looks. So we'll get our chance to start on the front row. So that's pretty cool. Definitely a unique opportunity for us and our team. Joe Gibbs Racing has definitely come down here with more speed this time around in single car stuff. But also in the Can-Am duels tonight, we also showed we had good speed. Denny had a fast car. Myself and Matt and Carl, we ran up in the top three much of the race. And then pit stops kind of changed the order around a little bit, and there at the end again, with guys going for positions and trying to race a little bit and get themselves a better starting spot, it got a little bit hectic, I'd say. So for us, all good, ready for Sunday.
Well, a little bit hectic might be an understatement. Jimmy Johnson ends up wrecking that car on that final lap, and you had to put a new motor, basically put that car back together. So very, very exciting. One thing that was really exciting was watching the guys trying to race their way in. So we got some audio from Michael McDowell on making the Daytona 500.
Oh, it's unbelievable to have a spot in the 500. There's a lot of excitement, but there's a big relief, just to make the race, and a lot of pressure.
Yeah, a lot of pressure. It might be an understatement. Back and forth, we were watching the whole day on what the setup and who was going to get in there. I also got to catch up with Josh Wise. Didn't turn out quite the same way for him, but here's his comments on a full season.
Yeah, sure. If the if the cards fall right, I think that's the route we're going to try to take. But it's just a step-by-step process. And I was, in this position with the 98 with Phil Parsons a few years ago. We kind of started, the race team from scratch and had to race in points and build a team and find sponsorship and whatnot, and starting again there from ground zero.
Alan, we also asked Josh a follow-up question. Dominic Aragon actually asked him on his plans for 2016.
We're going to go to Atlanta with this car next week, and hopefully we go and we can make races and find some sponsorship and just keep plugging away.
Well, and I think the key to everything in racing actually comes down to sponsorship. But a lot of neat things going on, including we talked about very interesting situation. I mean, because with the new Chase format, I mean, you win and you're in. And so one of the things that we thought were throwing around is, well, what if Labonte was to win? And so we have some audio from RT St. Hilaire on if Labonte was to win.
No, we couldn't do that. We've got commitments with Can-Am, with Jeffrey and Bobby, so we'd just continue as is. It would be a great gesture, and we'd love to have that problem to consider, but I don't see that in the cards. But you never know. Never say never, right?
Yeah, well, never say never. But as a matter of fact, when you're thinking about racing, of course, you got to be thinking about Yearwood Performance. Since 1968, Yearwood Performance has been the gearhead haven. Yearwood Performance giving you the edge you need on the track and the street, knowledge of what to use and how to use it, fuel injection, ignition systems, gauges, accessories, Torco Racing fuels, they got it all ready to go for you. Make sure you check them out, 9674 Eagle Ranch Road across from Costco on the west side, or 341 Eubank. Buy local, save time, money, performance, yearwoodperformance.com. And you're looking for something cool today at 11:30 to 2 o'clock today over at Indian Motorcycle of Albuquerque. You can catch them out over on Alameda. They got the Biker Chili Challenge going on today from 11:30 to 2, 4509 Alameda. $10 to taste and vote. You can go and select by popular vote the winner's choice. That is the Indian Motorcycle of Albuquerque Biker Chili Challenge. All right, we've got a whole lot more coming up, including on the other side, we're going to be talking with three-time Daytona champion. That's right, Bobby Allison. You've been listening live to the New Mexico Motorsports Report from Daytona International Speedway on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
This is Al Unser, four-time winner of the Indy 500. You've been listening to David Slope of the New Mexico Motorsport Report on ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team.
At Napa Independent Auto Care Centers, we care. Your oil change today will provide a hot, nutritious meal for someone tomorrow. Delivered by Meals on Wheels. Participating Albuquerque and Rio Rancho area Napa Independent Auto Care Centers will donate a meal on your behalf to Meals on Wheels when you have your oil changed in the month of February. Napa Independent Auto Care Centers provide Napa know-how backed by a 24-month, 24,000-mile nationwide warranty. AutoCareNM.com for participating Napa Independent Auto Care Centers.
You know what I like best about ski season?
I'm thinking probably the snow bunny.
Am I that obvious?
Got you covered. Let's go to Santa Ana Star Casino for the $100,000 snow bunny money giveaway. We could win up to $100,000 cash.
That's a hopper full of dough.
Drawings are every Saturday and we could win free play or even $100,000 cash.
$100,000? That'd make me a mogul.
It's the $100,000 snow bunny money giveaway. Every Saturday at Santa Ana Star Casino. New Mexico's best bet.
Attention, New Mexico. It's time to make the healthy switch. No, we're not talking about your cereal or another fad diet. We're talking about making your wallet and insurance coverage healthier. First Santa Fe Insurance, a Safeco premier partner agency, has been providing insurance to New Mexicans since 1926. They'll help you plan for the unexpected surprises and find the coverage that fits your budget. Take advantage of their expert advice and premier coverage plans designed to make your wallet and insurance coverage healthier. Visit firstsfinsurance.com or simply call 798-5850.
Since 1968, Yearwood Performance has been a staple in the Southwest hot rod scene. Yearwood Performance is the expert, giving you the edge you need on the track and the street. Knowledge of what to use and how to use it. Fuel injection, ignition systems, gauges and accessories. Everything you need all in one place. New Mexico's oldest and largest speed shop, Yearwood Performance. 341 Eubank just south of I-40 and 9674 Eagle Ranch Road across from Costco on the west side. Buy local, save time and money. YearwoodPerformance.com.
We're here with Jason Marshman, the executive chef of Marcello's Chop House, which once again was just selected Albuquerque's best local favorite steakhouse.
Thank you. I'm very excited by our new Marcello's Happy Hour menu, where we now feature a hummus duo, our Southwest flatbread, and my favorite, our filet skewers. We also have great red and white Happy Hour wines for only $5 a glass.
Once again, Albuquerque's best local favorite steakhouse is Marcello's Chop House in the ABQ Uptown Center.
New Mexico's only custom car builder magazine is the New Mexico Rods and Rides. With monthly full-color features such as the Business Spotlight, Reader Fever, and a complete listing of all New Mexico car clubs. Pick up your free copy at participating locations such as Yearwood Performance Center at 341 Eubank and all Peerless Tire and Napa stores in Albuquerque and Rio Rancho. Contributing columns such as Showtime, Old Time Fun, and the monthly cover car have made New Mexico Rods and Rides magazine a local favorite. The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone call at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Loose Customs, a division of J. Walton Automotive, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, Driver's Den, Indian Motorcycle of Albuquerque, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, coming to you live from Daytona International Speedway. And on a absolutely beautiful day, joining us is three-time Daytona 500 champion, Bobby Allison. How you doing, Bobby?
Doing good.
Yeah, you were commenting earlier on what a beautiful day it is. And I was wondering, were all of the days, 1978, 1982, and 1988, this beautiful?
Actually, I don't think they were quite this beautiful. I don't think any of them were, although they were they're pretty good between in and out, you know, a little bit of clouds maybe, a
right.
little bit of rain during the night or whatever. But
well, and we were kind of joking about having to pay a few bills with the clients or with having sponsors, and of course a major alliance with Coca-Cola over the years. I mean, probably next to the Daytona 500 as an icon, Coca-Cola. I mean, what was it like back in the day with sponsors? I mean, is it as crazy as it is today, or was it a much closer relationship?
Well, it was really a closer relationship, and I can tell a really cute story about that whole deal. A guy came to me, a friend of mine came to me in late 1969 and said, got a guy that wants to put an ad on your car for a race. And so I said, boy, that'd be great. Okay.
Yeah, you know? Awesome.
And so paid us a few hundred dollars to put Coca-Cola on the car. And we did pretty good, you know. And then the next week they said, well, let's do it again. We had four races left to go on that season. And so, well, let's do it again, you know. And we'll pay the same money, you know, a few hundred bucks, you know, whatever. So we did that. And then the third week we won. And so this is really a neat big deal for them. You know, they got to go to Victory Lane, and a little old short track at the time, but it was still a big deal, and did that. So then in 70, I had Coke for the season. And, you know, they paid us a few thousand dollars for the whole season.
Wow.
And so then in 71, I got into a deal where I started with my own car and then got into Holman and Moody's car. And, but Coke went with me over to Holman and Moody, and you know, so then there was a few thousand dollars, you know. So
it kept,
this is getting better.
They kept ratcheting it up there. And
we won nine of the last 19 races of the 71 season.
Yeah.
Which was really great, you know. And so then 72, I hooked up with Junior Johnson. So Junior said, well, you got that Coke deal. So let's get them over here on our car. What are they paying? I said, well, they paid $50,000 for the year, and they said they're going to go up this year. So he said, well, tell them I won 100. And I got frozen my tracks, and I said, well, I'll go, you know. So I went to my connection there, and said, Junior wants 100. So he said, well, let me see what I can do. So he spends about a week canvassing the offices in Atlanta, you know. He says, Bobby, I only could come up with $8,500. And so I said, well, let me go back to Junior and see that. So I go walk into Junior's office, and Junior says, 100 or nothing. I said, you got 100. I paid the 15 out of my pocket.
Well, and I mean, in that in race, it's a great race story. It happens all the time. 718 starts. 84 wins, which we're going to get into. I know we're going to get it out to second. 58 poles. So let's talk about number 85.
Yeah.
The Bowman Gray race.
Yes.
What was the issue with NASCAR, and why did they not give you that victory?
Okay. During that season, they were having trouble filling the fields at the short track races, and so they said, "Well, the Grand Americans can fill in, and you know they'll run the back. They can't keep up with our big boys." Well, the cars were really good, and so I got a Melvin Joseph's little Mustang that Ralph Moody had built, and went there and won the race. You know, really, really upset a lot of people that I did it, but it counted to begin with. And then Tiny Lund had a Camaro that was in that same division, the Grand American Division, and he won a couple. You know, I only won one, he won two, but and they counted. About a year or so later, they dropped us out of the win column. You know, they still had the race, and they still had a second place guy, but no winner. And so then Tiny, you know, unfortunately met that disaster and was killed. And his widow went to Bill France and said, you know, this isn't fair. We got to be credited with, Tiny has to be credited with the win. And so Bill Jr. gave the two wins back to Tiny, so he's in the record book. But I was always a renegade, and so, you know, I couldn't get to the right spot to really plead for my petition to get back in. And then Bill passed away on us, and
yeah.
He was the one guy that could have changed it with a swipe of the pen. And I think one of these days somebody is going to say, hey, wait a minute, we have one race in the NASCAR record book that has no winner.
Right.
They never gave the win to anybody. Richard Petty was second that night. He would have 201 if they gave him that win,
mm-hmm.
or I would have 85 if they give it to me like they should. And so I count 85.
Well, there you go. I mean, so you hear directly from Bobby Allison, three-time Daytona 500 champion. Your first victory, 1978. The next year, 1979, they actually start, you know, televising it. What was it like, 1978, this sport? I mean, when we were sitting in this place now, 101,000 people going to be watching the race from the property. What was it like at that time where, you know, it still wasn't even, you know, on the social radar, on the public radar in the United States to win in 1978?
Well, you know, it was just really a special race no matter what. Daytona became the thing when they built it in 1959. 1959, 1960 races were incredible events. And, of course, you know, racing was beginning to grow and become, especially stock car racing, especially NASCAR stock car racing, was getting better and better and more well-organized. And Bill Francina was doing such a good job of pulling the crews and teams together and the manufacturers and all, and even some sponsors pretty early on that got into the thing. So by the time we got here in 78... You know, I took a ride with Bud Moore, and you know, I had run my own car the year before. Was really a terrible year. After having a lot of good years in NASCAR, I had a really bad year, and so took this deal with Bud Moore. And I had driven for him once before, so I knew him and I liked him a lot, and I knew his equipment was good. Got in that car, and on the Thursday the races rained out, and so we ran on Friday morning. And early Friday morning, I was running really good and got crashed right near the end, tore the car up really, really bad.
Mm.
Well, no spare car in those days, you know, no backup car. Our guys worked through the night. NASCAR let them stay with the guard and work through the night, Friday night, all day Saturday. By Saturday evening, they had the thing looking really good. And I had worn myself down to where I was ready to go home. You know, I was sick and tired and worn down and not feeling good physically and the whole deal. And I came to tell Bud Moore I was leaving, and I looked and the car is all painted up and cleaned up and new engine and new suspension stuff on it. So I said, I gotta give it one more try. Got in that car and won my first Daytona 500.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, Tom, you had a question?
Yeah, so I want to ask you, I mean, obviously the Daytona 500 is the biggest race to win. It's the pinnacle of the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. So what kind of pressure is Joey Logano facing tomorrow to win his back-to-back or try to go back-to-back in the 500?
He's got the pressure on him for sure, you know, because the pressure has always been great in NASCAR, but it's certainly more so with trying to get a repeat win. Now, I got some repeats in my career, but not here. You know, my repeat here was several years later. And then my next repeat was several more years.
Yeah.
But, I did repeat it a couple times. Charlotte, I did that. I repeated a couple times there, in fact. And, you know, but the pressure is immense. And when you've done it once, then, you know, people are gunning for you, particularly, you know, they really, really want to run you hard on the racetrack and all those things that can lead to a reason for not being that first when the checkered flag goes down.
What's really neat, though, with your victory in 1988 is to have your son finish second. I mean, and to have that experience. I mean, I've talked at length with Al Unser and Al Unser Jr., both about being in a race together And so what's the significance for you to have your son finish second in the 1988 Daytona 500?
Well, that has to be the greatest event of all time. But Later on in 1988, after that event, I crashed at Pocono. And I suffered terrible head injury, great memory loss and all that. Most of that memory has come back, but Daytona 88 still has not come back.
Wow.
They tell me I won the race.
Wow.
And they tell me that Davey was second, which had to be the greatest deal going.
Wow.
But for 1988, the only thing I remember is I won the fishing contest.
I saw that.
In the lake in the back.
I saw that. Yeah,
back
I mean, you're 50 years old, which is, you know, the age I am now, so there's a little bit of hope left for me. The only time a father and son have finished in the great race, and yeah, and you won the fishing as well. I mean, what's the significance in the you know, in maybe the garage area of having that title, the fishing title?
Well, you know, it's always good to have any kind of a fishing title, you know. The fishing deal, you know, the longer they're in the live well, the bigger they get.
Yeah.
And, you know, all those kind of bragging rights are just really special. And fishing was always a great pastime for me. It wasn't my only pastime, but it was a great pastime. It still is today. I live on Lake Norman up in North Carolina. And I go out there and I fish, and I caught a fish a couple months ago, even though it was trying to be winter. We didn't have any real cold weather, and I caught a really nice bass behind my house just probably three months ago now.
Great. Well, we really appreciate you. Know you got super busy today, but really appreciate you giving us a few minutes and coming on the New Mexico Motorsports Report.
Super. Good deal.
Awesome. Thank you. We got a whole lot more coming on. You buckle the seatbelt. Stay tuned. We got a whole lot more coming up on the New Mexico Motorsports Report here on ESPN Radio. 101.7 The Team.
Hi, this is Martin Truex Jr. You're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN, Albuquerque 101.7 The Team.
Customs, a division of J. Walton Automotive, professional, but not a big box shop, personal, where they know your name with phenomenal auto service and repair for more than 30 years. Now the home for Loose Customs. Show quality paint and complete custom builds and restorations, including creative fabrication and mechanical engineering. Recognized Industry Excellence Awards at SEMA and the 18th Annual Good Guys Southwest Nationals. 9401 Central, just east of Wyoming, 296-4816. Like them on Facebook at L-U-C-E Customs, jwaltonauto.com.
Donut Mart, the spot for fresh and delicious donuts, bagels, muffins, coffee, and espresso-based drinks, now introduces breakfast burritos at their Coors location. Dine in or take these incredible breakfast burritos to go. You can't go wrong with your choice of chicken sausage, turkey bacon, red or green chili, and they're cooked fresh to order. Only available at 3301 Coors Boulevard and 1916 Central Avenue. Donut Mart, 5 convenient Albuquerque area locations, all with Wi-Fi. Visit DonutMartUSA.com for special offers. Think local, support local, Donut Mart.
Stop by New Mexico Bank and Trust and let's talk possibilities. What would you do if your finances were more flexible? Remodel the kitchen? Add a nursery for your new bundle of joy? Or maybe put the kids through college? Immediate access to a renewable source of funds can open a lot of doors. It's all possible with a home equity line of credit, and it all begins with a friendly talk at New Mexico Bank and Trust. Get to know the bank that gets to know you.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Whether you're a Lobo, Husky, or Bulldog, for over 40 years, Clark's Pet Emporium has been helping families care for their pets. Fish, birds, cats, dogs, reptiles, and small animals. Clark's has built a tradition of friendly, knowledgeable service focused on quality pet care products at affordable prices. Locally owned and operated with two convenient locations for all your pet needs, including shot clinics without an appointment, 11200 Manal Northeast or 4914 Lomas Northeast. Clark's Pet Emporium will be your pet's favorite weekly stop. Clark's Pet Emporium, clarkspets.com.
When you hire the law firm of David C. Chavez, you immediately get a team of professionals working for you. We use the latest in technology to determine what happened. When a violent collision occurs, we take our crash team to the site of impact to gather evidence. Using laser technology, we reenact the crash. We develop our clients' cases to find out what happened to significantly increase the award or settlement against a responsible party or insurance company so I can get you on the road to recovery.
Call the law firm of David C. Chavez, 865-9696.
The Better Business Bureau and its accredited businesses are committed to building a better business community based on trust, honesty, and integrity. Triumph from Models' commitment to quality since 1989 is based in the same principles as the members of the BBB. If you are in need of an addition or remodel to your home, please consider locally and family-owned Triumph Remodel. From design to construction, New Mexico-licensed GB98 contractor. Call 505-797-3987 or visit TriumphRemodel.com. Another proud member of the BBB.
Albuquerque's most complete auto detailer is Lion Auto Detailing. We pick up your vehicle and return it to you cleaner than when you bought it new. Showroom shine every time. Cars, trucks, SUVs, RVs, and motorcycles. Lion Auto Detailing includes a safety check. Cruise as the king of the asphalt jungle. Gift certificates also available for your Lioness. 306 San Pedro Southeast. Call now, 266-2271. That's 266-2271 for a free estimate or to schedule a detail. Showroom shine every time. LionAutomotive.com.
Napa Know How!
Right now at Napa, when you buy 5 quarts of Valvoline conventional oil for just $3.59 a quart, we'll give you either Chase Elliott, Dale Jr., Jimmy Johnson, or Casey Kane free by mail. And wait, what? Well, that makes more sense. We'll give you a bobblehead of either Chase Elliott, Dale Jr., Jimmy Johnson, or Casey Kane free by mail. Valvoline for just $3.59 and a free bobblehead. That's Napa Know How. General States pricing, taxes, and recycling fees extra. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer expires 2/29/16.
Are you having a knee replacement or other scheduled surgery requiring rehabilitation? Consider Skies Healthcare and Rehabilitation Center for your rehab and nursing needs. It's the only facility in New Mexico to receive the 2015 Gold Quality Award from the American Healthcare Association. Whether it's physical therapy, occupational therapy, and or speech therapy, Skies Healthcare provides skilled nursing and rehabilitation, short-term or long-term care. Skies Healthcare is here for you. For information or a private tour, call 898-7986 or visit genesishcc.com/skies.
Lobos wear life jackets. The New Mexico State Parks Division, in a partnership with UNM Lobo Athletics, would like to remind everyone to wear their life jacket, boat smart on the water, and be aware of weather conditions. Remember, boating under the influence in New Mexico is strictly enforced and prohibited. You drink, you boat, you lose. New Mexico State Parks offers free boating safety classes statewide and online throughout the year. For more information, visit www.nmparks.com or call 1-888-NM-PARKS. Be a Lobo and wear your life jacket.
Magnum Builders is your best choice for structural framing, new construction, and commercial and residential remodeling. Magnum Builders frames more than 500 homes per year, as well as contracted remodels, tenant improvements, and outdoor living features. They'll help you with a hot tub deck, walk deck, covered patio, gazebo, and much more. Magnum Builders is New Mexico's framing and commercial and residential remodel contractor of choice. For a no-obligation, absolutely free estimate, simply call 344-9674. 344-9674. MagnumBuildersNM.com.
Don't go empty-handed to your next party. Four Winds has you covered. That's right, Four Winds Travel Center, located just north of I-40 on 12th Street. Pick up growlers with local award-winning craft beer from Marble, Tractor, La Cumbre, and more. Mention this radio spot and fill up your growler for $7.99. That's right, $7.99. Four Winds also has a humidor with over 200 cigars, including Don Lucas cigars from the Dominican Republic. Four Winds on 12th Street, north of I-40, across from New Mexico's largest Starbucks. Route 66 is giving away not one, but two brand new 2016 Ford F-150 4x4 trucks every Saturday in February. Increase your odds. Get 10 times entries every Wednesday. It's our double truck giveaway, only at Route 66 Casino Hotel. The pit stop is now over. Let's return to the New Mexico Motorsports Report and get things revved up with your phone call at 994-1017. That's 994-1017. Now, back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Loose Customs, a division of J. Walton Automotive, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, Driver's Den, Indian Motorcycle of Albuquerque, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine. Here is David.
All right, welcome back to the New Mexico Motorsports Report. Coming to you live from Daytona International Speedway, home of the Daytona 500, which will be running tomorrow. Xfinity practice is going on right now. And joining us in the show is a radio legend, announcer legend, here with NASCAR's Ken Squire. How you doing, Ken?
Pleasure. Well.
How'd your show go this morning?
It went pretty sweet. It was good.
Well, tell us a little bit about, I mean, I know your family you know, owned a radio station, and kind of how you got involved in announcing motorsports.
Well, there wasn't much else to do. No, we were in Vermont, and as a kid, there were 23 racetracks in that little state. We could race five nights a week. It was good. And my dad was a harness race announcer, you know, standard breds. That's a big thing up in our part of the country.
Yeah.
But for a little kid, one afternoon of standard bred racing was about 3 years. Boy, it took a long time.
Yeah.
But on the weekend, the big fairs always had races, and I saw my first race. Never grew up.
Yeah, absolutely fell in love. And so, I mean, you did NASCAR, which seemed like forever, 79 to 97, major career. A lot of people like myself, I actually equate my early memories with your voice, you know, calling races. And so what was it like, 1979, first Daytona 500, and there's a fist fight that breaks out because, you know, you were around local tracks, and the rule was you don't fight in the pits, but we'll pay you $50 to fight on the front straight. So what was it like to have a national audience like that and to see how that race ended?
Well, it's funny. My partner, we own a racetrack, Thunder Road, up in Barre, Vermont.
Wow.
And so we're short trackers, and, you know, I grew up in an era long before that when there wasn't any NASCAR, actually. And our heroes were guys like the immortal Ted Horn that was killed in 48 out of DuPont. And it was the sprint cars that got us all wrapped up and excited. And they were unique and special types of individuals and had their own unique characteristics that didn't fit with organized sport in this country. They weren't baseball players. They weren't any of that. And that appealed to me a great deal. And one thing led to another as I grew up. Tried racing. I wasn't that good at it. But I sure did love it. And the opportunity arose to begin to work with different shows, with stunt shows and with open cockpit cars. And lo and behold, I mean, the biggest thing for us when we were kids was to listen to Sid Collins with the Indy 500.
Yeah.
And that was a big, had to stay home from the family picnic on Memorial Day to stay with that. And that was an interesting background. It was back in the days of AAA racing.
Yeah.
Before United States Auto Club, for that matter. So stock cars were what was about, and after World War II and all those kids came home from the Pacific fighting the Japs and Germany, that's what made stock car racing take off.
Absolutely.
It was inexpensive, and you could get to do it, and it was the common man doing uncommon deeds, which was everything that the United States of America was in World War II. And
yeah.
We relied upon the average guy, and over it didn't matter if it was Wake Island or Midway or Guadalcanal. We knew that. And the first champion of NASCAR was an old war hero who was shot down by the Japanese when the Japs took two islands in Alaska. They took Sitka and another one. And he got his, they shot him up, and they got the thing landed, a B-17. And he, they said they had to take his leg off, and he said, no thanks, I just as soon die with it on.
Yeah.
And that guy became the first national champion in NASCAR. I thought he was emblematic. I hope they didn't put him in the Hall of Fame. because he went out and didn't run that many races, and his dream had been Indianapolis, and there was no way in an open cockpit car.
How are you?
So they were real heroes. They were what America was made out of, and I was just glad to be around it.
So let me ask you this: do you think Robert Byron will be in the Hall of Fame someday?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Robert Byron, the driver.
Robert Byron,
yeah. Will he be in the Hall?
He has to be.
Yeah.
I'm on that panel. I'm trying very hard to sell that because he was so unique. You know, he was from Colorado, and he came down southeast to Atlanta because Red Boat was there, and Red Boat was the guy that really knew how to build a stock car. And he won the first race at Martinsville for a stock car race. And then a year later came back, and 2 years later. And I don't think he ran more than 18, 19 races, but when he ran, he won and was a real gentleman and the kind of person that really represented that spirit, which I keep trying to testify to, that we need that in the Hall of Fame very, very much, because it comes from a period that's easily forgotten with all the high marquee and the colorful people that we have now. And I've stayed with it. Here I am talking to you.
I was going to say, I mean, talk about a colorful people. You had a gift for gab, a way to actually bring color. I mean, I would say that, you know, you probably paved the road for a lot of, you know, people, you know, such as myself in the media, that, you know, we can get involved with it. But, like, how do you come up with, like, you know, some of the nicknames and stuff? Because, I mean, that was one of the best things that you added to it is, you know, it became part of the you know, great American race. I mean, you coined that phrase as well. I mean, talk a little bit about, you know, your involvement with the drivers and how you kind of, you know, kept it going for lap after lap.
Well, my mentor was Chris Economaki.
Yeah, great.
Who was, in my mind, the definitive track announcer. And if you wanted to do anything, you had to do track announcing to really understand how important, particularly in the United States. The people that race stock cars are different. They don't go to college. They're blue collar, they're hard working, honest people, most of them. And the point was that hometowns counted for everything. You know, you hear the NBA and the NFL, and they're always in some college or another, and you know their two dumbs have gone more than 2 years. And the guys that raced, they went to college too, and it was 5 nights a week, and the other 2 nights they did their homework and put their cars in Pearson.
Yeah,
he was that guy. But all of those guys, Weatherly, all of that crowd, and they matriculated in that manner. And they were very interesting people, but they were part of the common cause, and that's what Bill France tapped into. Which he never thought they'd ever race on anything but dirt.
Yeah,
when he had that first meeting down the street here at the old hotel, Streamliner, and he really identified with that sense that hometown meant everything. If you were from Timmonsville, South Carolina, you had Cale Yarborough.
Yeah.
And although they came from Florida, Bobby Allison was from Hueytown, Alabama.
Yeah.
Pretty darn special. And that's what stock car racing all about. Some of that's been lost. I fear for that, because it does represent that part of America that counts so much for why so many come here for the redneck high holy days. You know, this is our deal.
Yeah.
We all get together and tell lots of lies and have a wonderful time. But we celebrate that kind of character, and they're smart people and they're good at what they do. And it doesn't matter if they're from Albuquerque or Santa Fe.
Or Grants.
Or where?
Hey, Grants, New Mexico. Yeah,
oh, is that right?
That's where Dom's from. But, hey, we really appreciate you taking some time and joining the show this morning.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. So we're actually going to take a couple minutes. We're going to talk basically about the race itself coming up.
Dominic, tell us a little bit about your thoughts on the race on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's anyone's race. You look at the 40 cars, and I believe there's 36 cars. I mean, obviously, that are running full-time. There's a few part-time drivers. I know you touched on it earlier in the show, but you can't help but look at Brian Vickers or a Bobby Labonte or a Michael Waltrip or like a Robert Richardson who raced their way into the 500. What if one of these guys wins the 500? Would there be a contingency plan in place for one of these drivers to run the full season? What are your thoughts on one of those four winning the 500, and is it realistic?
Well, I'm not sure it's realistic. As a matter of fact, I want to grab the audio. You actually posed a question to Darrell Waltrip. How many teams can win Daytona?
Five teams. Think about that. Five teams. Hendrick has four cars. Gibbs has four cars. I think if you look at the top five car owners that own about 15 cars, 18 cars, your winner will come out of one of those five teams.
Well, and I think that's the answer, is it's going to come out of those five. I mean, you look at the dominance of what they do with teams. You look at what Gibbs did when they went out and all of their team cars were out there practicing together. Three of them were in one of the duels together. Denny Hamlin, almost won it. He was in the other duel by himself, but he was working well with the other cars that are around him. So I think that when you look at that situation, that they say, it's anybody can win on any given weekend. There could be a big one, and somebody could make it through there and has a chance to win. But really, when you talk about preparation, I mean, the money that it takes and what it takes to get this thing done on a regular basis, I'm not sure it's not going to come out of, one of those groups. What was interesting is we also asked Mike Joy how many cars he thought can win the Daytona.
16, 18. There are. If you look at the major multi-car teams, there are that many here, and a couple of the smaller teams. I would have no trouble listing more than 15 cars that have a very legitimate chance to win.
But and so I think that stays true to the point that only so many really have a chance. I mean, it's 500 laps. It's a grueling race, 2.5 miles, and a lot of things can happen. A lot of things that are out of your control. As a matter of fact, last night, we were watching the truck race, a lot of, things happening, and it comes down, right to the end, and then, thank goodness that Christopher Bell is fine. Went to the hospital, had him checked out, and he's okay, from what we could gather. But that was a horrendous-looking accident. They'd had the red flag, and they wanted to get the race in, three laps to go. Basically come down to having contact like that. So it was pretty amazing. But so what are your thoughts? I mean, who at the end of the day do you think is going to come home with that checkered flag?
On Sunday, it's hard to pick against Joey Logano. And I know we talked with Bobby earlier and talked with Jeff Bodine earlier in the month about it. There's a lot of pressure to repeat as a champion. And it really boils down to how much pressure you put on yourself and how much you put on the team. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what fans say or what the media is asking you. It's a matter of if you can actually buckle down and let all the pressure behind you. And I think it's hard to pick against Team Penske, or even looking at Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Jimmy Johnson. The speed Hendrick Motorsports has had here during Speed Weeks has been phenomenal. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's hard to repeat. I think it's very, very hard to repeat. Jimmy Johnson's looked awfully strong. I mean, even wrecked the car after the duel. They got it back looking very good. I think it's hard to bet against him. Chase Elliott, the amount of pressure that's got to be on that young man to try and win his first. He puts the car on the pole. I mean, he's got the best equipment. Can he handle the mental fatigue that it's going to take? And I think that's the significance. I think Jimmy Johnson comes away with it. But we got an opportunity to catch up with Richard Petty and ask Richard Petty actually what Daytona's prestige means to a driver.
Oh yeah, this is our Super Bowl. You win a race here in February, and you win it all year long. Even if you don't show up at a race, you're the Daytona champion.
Right.
And same way with the Super Bowl or World Series or whatever. So it starts the season. Everybody's new. Got new sponsors, new color cars, new drivers. So it's a real happy.
Yeah, and then we also asked the King about his Daytona wins. What was the significance of that?
Well, it's one of them deals that was won our first race here in 64, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that started my career. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you win 66, the 62, 4, you win 66, you know, you win, and you start winning, and again, it lasts all year long, no matter, all over the world. You're a Daytona 500 winner for all year.
Right.
So it was one of the biggest, probably one single things that that helped create Richard Petty's idea of, you know, winning races and winning other things.
We also posed the same question to Darrell Waltrip.
Well, there are some great drivers. You know, Tony Stewart never won the Daytona. Mark Martin never won the 500. There are other great drivers that have gone through their whole career and never won the 500. I don't think it diminishes their career one bit. The Daytona 500 is a cherry on top of Sunday, you know. If you've had a great career, you've won races, you've done things in the sport, you'd like for your name to be on the Harley Trophy out there, you know. But it doesn't mean that you're not going to make it into the Hall of Fame, or it doesn't mean that you're not a great driver. Sometimes big events elude great drivers. They just put so much pressure on themselves to win, like a Super Bowl or a World Series or whatever, that it's almost detrimental to their success. So I don't know what you'd say to someone who says, just keep trying. That's what I did. It took me 17 years. I finally did it. It took Dale 20 years. He finally did it. Just keep trying. I hope you don't run out of time.
So Ken, we still got you on the line here. And what are your thoughts on the significance of winning the Daytona 500?
Well, it's pretty much everything. Yeah, this is what Richard said. I think what as interesting as the high marquee is that Ron Devine team of four cars, of which Robert Richardson was riding around on his tractor on the farm, and and here he is in the show.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine, that's 10% of the entire field comes from this team that is brand new. Not exactly that. I mean, Devine's been here with some other equipment, singularly. But this first time we've seen this kind of horsepower in the race. And when that Richardson qualified, is just an incredible story, which is always what happens here. There's some other sidelight stories that are so attractive because they're the great American ethic of, you know, try with everything you've got to go as far as you can. And this kid from Texas, 200-acre hay farm,
right,
hay ranch, if you will, he's in the show. And he's so tickled, he's walking on air. And every so often somebody, we had a car come down here from New England that won the race, the Whitcomb car, with a driver out of the Northwest that nobody had ever heard of. He wanted to be a baseball player and got bust up. And next thing you know, he pulled the upset. So there's always that potential. And it's not two teams playing each other. You've got 40 teams out
right
here. And don't think for a minute. What Earnhardt said the other day, I thought, had great bearing upon what we're going to be seeing. He said, "There aren't, when you get to the Daytona 500 and you get to the last 25 miles, no such thing as teams. Everybody's selfish. Everybody has to be selfish, or there's no success." He got it. He said it as eloquently as anyone has ever said it, and it just harkens to what the United States is all about, or supposed to be. I think that that's part of the magic of this race. And you don't know until you get to that checkered flag who your hero is that has pulled this one out of the fire. And they have been pulled out on at least three occasions by people that said, "Who in heaven's name is he?"
That's fantastic. Well, it's some great color commentary from Ken Squire. But if you ever get a chance, you've got to make the trip to check out Daytona International Speedway and, you know, one of the greatest races, you know, of all time, the Daytona 500. And tomorrow we're going to find out who is going to mark their name in the book that's going to be a part of that. But we really appreciate you listening this morning to our live, unique presentation from the Daytona International Speedway here on the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team.
Hey, this
This is Trevor Bay. You're listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.
Thank you for listening to the New Mexico Motorsports Report, presented by Napa Auto Parts, Loose Custom, a division of J. Walton Automotive, Yearwood Performance, ABQ Dragway, Driver's Den, Indian Motorcycle of Albuquerque, and the New Mexico Rods and Rides Magazine, here on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Join us again next week, where your host, David Swope, will be talking about events happening around the state and on the national scene. Whether it's got two wheels or four wheels, pavement and off-road racing, or park and shine. If you are into it, we are into it.
101.7 KQTM Rio Rancho Albuquerque, your hometown radio station.